Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's Kevin's birthday, and evidently none of us were able to get the memo here at the company that your birthday was considered to be a national holiday. I feel like an idiot. I've worked on all of my birthdays since I've worked here. It just seems like another day to me. I mean, is there a parade, too? I'm confused. He took his birthday off.
It's just safer not to ask any questions, Steve. Just let it happen and let it just run its course.
It's good advice. All right. So the biggest name, there's been one trade so far. And the one trade is Justin Masterson going from the Indians to the Cardinals for Mike Ramsey, who's an outfield prospect, a former first-round pick out of Florida State. Seen him play, like him, but it was a couple of years ago I saw him play. Expect, by the way, that when this trade thing comes down, that when it's done, John Lester probably will be traded, but it looks like David Price is not going to be traded. And David Price has been the hot name for a long time. John Lester was scheduled to pitch tonight, did not, or is not going to. The Phillies have talked about moving Cliff Lee before the deadline. But again, Justin Masterson has thrown a wrench into some plans here. I think the Phillies thought they could move him to the Cardinals. No, they got Justin Masterson. And the Phillies, I can tell you, scouted the Spikes, and they scouted the St. Louis organization. Now, you're not allowed to talk to any of the Philly scouts. That cracks me up every time I see that sign at Williamsport. We can't talk to them. It's like, fine, well, guess what? Maybe from now on I really don't want to talk to your scouts. All right. All the other scouts talk. You'd be amazed. You could talk to them. They're actually people. They get to know you. You know, what the heck? John Lackey could possibly be moved. And Lackey and Lester both could be on the go at this trading deadline. And Lackey has an interesting contract. Because pay him $500,000 next year if he doesn't get an extension. It's a bonus he'd have to be paid if he does not get an extension with the team that has him. The Orioles want left-handed relief. They want starting pitching. A.J. Burnett to the Pirates appears to be dead, by the way. That's not going to happen. They're trying to work on John Lester right now. The Yankees would love Marlon Byrd. Interesting. So the question is, what now happens with John Lester? Where might he end up? But David Price is not evidently going to go anywhere. Cole Hamels' name has also come up. Question is, do people want to absorb the contracts? Lester's interesting. He's done at the end of the year. So whomever gets him might end up with a rental. And that's it. A two-month rental. As I've explained many times, though, think of how difficult it is to win. Let's take it from a basketball perspective. In the last 10 years, the best player in basketball on the planet has been LeBron James. He has been to the finals in his career now five times, four with Miami and once with Cleveland. In those five finals, his teams have won twice. That in four of those five finals, he was surrounded with outstanding talent. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, among others, Mario Chalmers, Udonis Haslam. You know, he's been surrounded by one Hall of Famer in Dwayne Wade, a guy that will get some Hall of Fame consideration in Chris Bosh, and some really good role players like Haslam and Ray Allen and Mario Chalmers and people like that. So Mike Miller. And yet, in the five finals he's reached through a long season, he's won twice. That amplifies to you that the best player on the planet, surrounded by really good talent, it's still difficult to win. When you get the opportunity to win, you need to seize the moment. It doesn't always work out, but you need to seize the moment. That's why I was all for the Phillies, for example, when they acquired Cliff Lee a few years ago, because they were going for it. They were trying to win, trying to get that extra starter, that guy that can make a difference for them to win. And the Phillies are a perfect example of how difficult it is to win. That franchise has been in existence now 138 years. That sound right? Right around there, 138 seasons. They've won twice. Two. It took them over 100 years to win their first one. Then it took them 28 more to win the second one. It's just not easy to win. Okay, the Yankees are a gold standard, right? Everyone concedes the Yankees are a gold standard, have been for a long time. They paid a lot of money for free agents over the years and on and on and on. In the last 14 seasons, how many titles have the Yankees won? One. In the last 14 years, they've won one. And they've had more resources than anybody else on the planet. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have a lot of money. When's the last time the Dodgers won? 1988? 1988 is the last time they won. I mean, they haven't won in 26 years where they won the whole thing. 26 years. And they've had financial resources more than most teams. Again, this amplifies. It's not that easy. And when we're in an era where people talk about legacies, and I can't stand that legacy. I can't stand it. Well, he needs to win this to cement his legacy. Oh, for goodness sakes. And don't get caught in the trap. It's hard. What makes winning great is that it's hard. If winning was easy, would we be as interested? That's easy. But winning's hard. That's why we gravitate so much to sports, the unpredictability of it, the fact that it is difficult. Dan Marino is one of the great quarterbacks of all time. After high school, he never won a single championship. I mean, in terms of like the whole thing championship. Went to one Super Bowl. It was early in his career, and everybody thought he'd be going a lot in his career because he's so talented. Well, even despite being incredibly talented, that was his only appearance. It's just difficult. Ernie Banks had a long, distinguished career with the Cubs. Not one time in his career did he play a postseason game. and had a great career, Hall of Fame career, great career. Not one time played in the postseason. Ted Williams played one postseason. That's it. One. His whole career, he played in one. As great as Bobby Orr was, he won two Stanley Cups with the Bruins. You know, we talk about Wayne Gretzky over and over and over. The Oilers won four Stanley Cups in 5 years. After he was traded, how many Stanley Cups did Wayne Gretzky win? None. It's because it's hard. You got the best player on the planet at the time, in Wayne Gretzky. They got to one final. It just over and over again, it just comes back to, you know, Will Chamberlain, one of the greatest players of all time, won two championships in his career. Jerry West, as great as Jerry West was, won once. One time. Mario Andretti, one of the greatest drivers on the face of the earth. We'll get now to the Kevin realm here, Kyle. One Indianapolis 500. Why? It's hard. That's why all this legacy talk is so absurd. When you start talking about, well, he needs another championship to cement his legacy. Really? No, you don't. Okay? No, you don't. Winning one's hard enough. Winning two, now it's bonus gravy time in your life. This is great. Legacy? Cement your legacy by winning another? That indicates it's easy to do. It's not. We went through the World Cup where the United States with 0-2-1. Everybody, yeah, we did great. Soccer fans know it's hard. We went 0-2-1. It's great. In our last three. But that's why, back to the trade part. Why do you make a deal to get a John Lester? Because you know it's difficult to win, and if your team is in a really good spot, you're trying what you can do as a manager to win at that moment. Most of the trades where prospects are sent in exchange for said player don't work out for the team that gets the prospects. Not all. It's not perfect. Doyle Alexander was traded by the Atlanta Braves to the Detroit Tigers in 1987. Doyle Alexander went 13-1 for the Tigers after being acquired, and the Tigers made the playoffs. And Doyle Alexander was a big reason why. So it worked. Who'd they give up in exchange? A young prospect by the name of John Smoltz. That worked. Okay? Bagwell for Larry Anderson. Didn't work. But the Red Sox wanted a left-handed reliever, and they felt at that time that was the deal they needed. So they traded Jeff Bagwell, who had a great career with Houston. But most of these deals don't work. Hunter Pence for who? Show of hands. Okay. Now the Red Sox traded Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, and Nick Punto to the Dodgers 2 years ago. In exchange, they got James Loney, who spent 2 months with the Red Sox, and then he went and signed with Tampa Bay, and some prospects. The Webster kid pitched over the weekend. He hung in there and did okay, and the Red Sox won 3-2, but he mostly hung in there. But they did that to clear out $250 million, because that's what they owed these guys in salary. A quarter of a billion for three guys that they owed. And they took that money and they rolled it into Mike Napoli, Johnny Gomes, Koji Uehara, Shane Victorino, Stephen Drew. I mean, that's what they did with that money that was freed up off the ledger. The Red Sox offered Lester a $70 million deal $70 million deal over 5 years. He turned it down. He said, that's not the market value right now. Okay, I can see it from the Lester point of view, but I can see it from the ball club's point of view, too. So now he's available at this moment. If the Pirates, for example, acquire him, this is a guy that you don't currently have and haven't had in your staff since John Candelaria. And he's better than John Candelaria because in the clutch, this guy takes the ball, and when the rest of the world is on pins and needles, he's the coolest cat in the building. Yeah, I always talk about money on the table. The best ones are the ones that, you know, you can go out and have a great three-game series against the Mets in June. Okay? I need you to take the ball and go out and give me a great seven-game World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. In other words, that's the best team in that other league over there you're facing. Guy has three World Series starts. He's given up one run. When all eyeballs are on every single pitch, that pressure. That's why, you know, he's, you know, when the rest of the building is on pins and needles on the edge of its seat, he's the coolest cat in the building. That's why you acquire him. He's a horse. He's the number one. Francisco Liriano was fabulous last night. Took the ball, went out, and gave the Pirates seven innings and struck out 11. Beautiful. They used Tony Watson in the eighth. They closed with Melanson in the ninth. A manager's dream. Seven from a starter, one from the best left-handed setup guy in baseball. Closer gets the job done. You walk out, win 3-1. This guy gives you seven innings every time you get the ball. You're not wearing out your bullpen. You get a legitimate number one. Question is, what do you give up for him? I know that Josh Bell, the shortstop down in Altoona right now, who's considered one of the hot prospects in the Pirates organization, is a guy people are talking about. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
So should we expect you and Kevin to build a boat for that, Steve?
Did Kevin do what?
Should we be expecting you and Kevin to build a cardboard boat for that cardboard regatta here in Sunbury?
Well, if it's on his birthday, then he can't do it. All right. might the Raiders move to San Antonio? Raiders owner Mark Davis was in San Antonio, but it was to honor Cliff Branch, who was inducted into the Prairie View Interscholastic League Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Former San Antonio Mayor Henry Cisneros suggested that he take in the opportunity to meet some of the city officials while we're in town. I have nothing further to discuss on the topic. That means they're talking. Cisneros was behind the Alamo Dome project when he was San Antonio's mayor. Davis also talked with San Antonio Spurs owner Peter Holt and also to Red McCombs, who both showed interest in having a stake in the team if it were to move to San Antonio, according to the report. According to the San Antonio Express News, Davis took an aerial tour of the city by helicopter. San Antonio is gorgeous. Now, outside the city, obviously, there's a lot of dust and sand and so forth. But in the confines of the city and the suburbs, it's a beautiful area. And if you've ever been to the Riverwalk, the Riverwalk is one of the truly great places. They were going to a little tiny river that goes through the center of the city. And it's maybe about, I would say, the river is 2-3 blocks away from the Alamo. And they were going to dump some concrete in there and just cover this thing up and get rid of it. And somebody had the idea, you know, maybe we got to make this a centerpiece. Put restaurants and shops and hotels, which is what they did. It's phenomenal. San Antonio's not a small place either. In terms of the population. And evidently, the Raiders, who are having Coliseum problems. Somebody explain to me why the A's signed a 10-year lease at a place where the sewage backs up into the clubhouse. Did somebody explain that to me? Show of hands somewhere, anywhere. Wow. Talk more about this next half hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Route 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. It's Kevin Herr's birthday. All of you, get in your cars and go home. It's time to celebrate.
Where Watsontown, Riverside, and Middleburg turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
President says be mad at the next guy. AccuWeather says some rain this evening and then partly cloudy overnight with a low 56. Good afternoon, I'm Sarah Bartlett, WKOK News. The House has begun debating a measure that would authorize a lawsuit against President Barack Obama, with Democrats labeling it a political charade. The suit would accuse Obama of violating the Constitution by exceeding his executive powers. On the House floor, Republican Doug Lamborn of Colorado said, "We will do whatever it takes to hold him and the future occupants of the Oval Office accountable." Obama himself told a crowd in Kansas City today that the suit is a political stunt at taxpayer expense. He said Republicans should stop just hating all the time and that they only have a few more years before they can be mad at the next president. Iowa Republican Charles Grassley told CBS News, "For too long, rapes and other assaults on college campuses have been kept under wraps and assailants treated with kid gloves."
One of the basic purposes of this legislation is to get the sexual assault on college campuses seen as a crime that it is, and prosecute accordingly.
After months of investigation, hearings, and statistics, a bipartisan group of senators is unveiling legislation designed to reduce sexual assaults on college campuses. The federal government is suing Pennsylvania over physical fitness tests given to applicants for state trooper positions, saying the practice illegally discriminates against women. The Justice Department's lawsuit was filed this week in federal court in Harrisburg. It says the use of the tests to screen and select the applicants for the entry-level positions amounts to a pattern of employment discrimination. A state police spokeswoman says the agency has not seen the lawsuit and cannot comment on it. The lawsuit says much greater percentages of male applicants than female applicants passed the physical fitness tests going back to 2003. Resurfacing on Route 54 in Riverside begins today and will continue through Saturday. PennDOT says the work on Route 54 will be from Riverside to Boyd Station. Tomorrow, work will start after 8:30 in the morning. Work should be complete by late afternoon. The road will be reduced to a single lane. Flaggers will be directing traffic, and some delays are expected in that area. And Vince Scully isn't ready to hang up his mic. The 86-year-old Hall of Fame broadcaster will return for his record 66th season with the Los Angeles Dodgers next year. The announcement at last night's game against Atlanta got a long-standing ovation from the crowd. Scully stood and waved to the fans from the broadcast booth. He first started calling Dodgers games in 1949 when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. AccuWeather says some rain this evening and then partly cloudy overnight, a low 56. Periods of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a shower and thunderstorm around in the afternoon, high 80. Times of clouds and sun Friday with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, a high 83. And over the weekend, cloudy on Saturday, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, high 78. Sunday, rather cloudy and humid with a shower and thunderstorm, Sunday's high 81. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's back to the Steve Jones Show right after this on WKOK.
Well, Walter's out here on the mountain in Beaver Springs, where me and Gilly were breaking in a new Ram ProMaster from Beaver Motors. The low load floor and high ceiling made throwing in sleeping bags, furniture, coolers, and wildlife a snap. customizable shelving, let us trick it out to carry electrical and plumbing supplies, ammo boxes, more coolers, spotlights, deer calls, and more. The fuel-efficient V6 with front-wheel drive got us to the lodge and even farther with a game warden in hot pursuit. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does it come with a cloaking device for stealth capability? Let me ask you, do you have a best friend like Gilly who hides things and then forgets where he hid them? And now, during the Say Hello to Summer sales event at Beaver Motors, you get a rebate plus an allowance to help customize your workhorse. Stop by Beaver Motors between Salins Grove and Lewistown on Route 522 in Beaver Springs and check out the all-new Ram ProMaster. Or visit us online at www.beavermotors.net. I'm just saying, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. It's Kevin's birthday, and for some odd reason, that leads to time off. Kyle's worked on his birthday how many years now?
Well, I'm 27, so let's just say most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I work on mine. Sarah Bartlett works on hers. Sean Carey just lugs water up the hill every day. Doesn't matter to him. Drew Kelly, Allie Stevens. I mean, you know, Cody Jade. I mean, let's face it, even a star, the size of Mark Lawrence works on his birthday. I mean, he's a legitimate star.
Absolutely. He is here daily, regardless of any holiday or his birthday. So he's absolutely.
Hey, look, Lawrence is throwing 95 in the slow gun every day. I mean, really. And that part where I refer to him as the star of stars is going to be in a promo. You know darn well it's going to make it somewhere.
I'm leaving him a message as we speak.
Good. You tell him. He said, what? That's great. But Kevin is taking his birthday off today. That's just tremendous. Okay. Enough of that. San Antonio is a city of 1.4 million people, by the way. And the Warriors are going to be moving out of Oakland, and they're going back to San Francisco. The A's have been trying desperately to move to San Jose, but in an agreement between the A's and the Giants 25 years ago, the Giants say that San Jose is part of, quote, their territory. Thus, they won't let the A's move there. Okay. So, for the moment, they're stuck and they just put together a 10-year lease for the Coliseum. Why? I don't know. Now the Raiders. So many times, I mean, the Raiders have gone to Los Angeles, couldn't quite find a stadium, went back to Oakland, and now they're sitting there, and some people you mentioned, for example, the Los Angeles component is a possibility. Of course, there's no stadium there. I think the NFL is going to expand. It's going to be Los Angeles and London. Los Angeles makes total sense. They need to have a team in the number two market in the country. My goodness. But well, London doesn't make sense, but that's a different deal. Now, speaking of Los Angeles, I was driving back last night, and I was listening to SiriusXM. I did a game yesterday at Mahoning Valley. It's interesting how this played out last night. I'm doing the game at Mahoning Valley, and the State College Spikes have their own little radio network that consists of four stations. Okay. And I was asked to be on SiriusXM last night on Chris Childers' show at 10:15. Well, this ends up being a 13-8 game. 13-8. And there's 29 hits. Well, the doggone game doesn't end until after 10 o'clock, and I'm doing the post game. And so I go through and I do the line score, take a commercial break, come back, do scores of other games, come back, commercial break, do a recap. It's a 13-8 game, so you don't do the entire recap. You pick and choose the important parts of the game. And I do that. I literally sign off, and I said, and again, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks for joining us on the Spikes Radio Network. The second I said network, my phone rang, and it was SiriusXM. I was on with Chris and former Colorado and Boise State head coach Dan Hawkins for about 20 minutes last night. And we talked about a lot of things, from Sandy Barber being selected athletic director to the possibility of Penn State going to a bowl game this year, to James Franklin, to other teams of the Big Ten. We talked about Michigan State. We talked about Michigan, Northwestern, Iowa. You know, we talked about a variety of things, Maryland getting in. Well, when I was done, I got in the car to drive back, and I'm listening to the Dodger game. Because for me personally, as someone who enjoys his profession, and, you know, whether you like me or not, you know, that's, and how I do games, you know, it's everyone's personal taste. But as a job and as a profession, I love the job of being a play-by-play person. I mean, I don't just like it. I love it. And I appreciate people who are, I personally feel, outstanding at it. Vin Scully, to me, is very, very special. So I'm listening to the game last night, and this happened.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alana Rizzo with Sportsnet LA here in the Dodger Stadium press room. We have some breaking news for you. On the microphone right now is Hyunjin Ryu.
안녕하세요. 오늘 중요한 중대 발표를 하겠습니다. 2015년도에도 빈스컬리 아저씨가 다저스와 함께할 겁니다.
And now for the Spanish translation of what Hyunjin said, here is Yasiel Puig.
Vinscoli, regresa otro año más con los Dodgers.
And now to translate what Hyunjin and Yasiel said in English, here is Southern California native Justin Turner.
Hey, everyone. What these guys are trying to say is that Vin Scully is coming back for another year of Dodger baseball.
Yeah!
Heard it here first. It's not just breaking news, it's fantastic news. Hall of Fame broadcaster Vin Scully will be returning to the broadcast booth in 2015 for his 66th season. The voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers will be back. I'm Alana Rizzo with Sportsnet LA. We now return to your regularly scheduled programming.
What they did, and these are the fans, by the way, at Dodger Stadium last night reacting. And Vin Scully, between innings, modestly thanking the fans for their appreciation, and kept taking his hand and putting it to his heart, and then was personally applauding himself to the fans for their reaction last night. And what they did was they had the three players in Korean, Spanish, and English explain he's coming back, and then they had several Dodgers in the front, and they started chest bumping on the video, which was a riot. And you know, and between innings, all this happened, and this the reaction. He's 86 years old, and now the bottom of the second's about to start, and so Vin puts on the headphones and back to work like the other 66 years.
Bottom of the second inning. Boy, it's tough to get over that. Atlanta leading the Dodgers 1-0. We'd like to thank Hyunjin Ryu, Yasiel Puig, and all the boys who put on the show on the screen. And all I can say is thank God and please God for another year. But let's get back to work now. 1-0 in favor of Atlanta.
And that's typical. Let's get back to work now. He told last night and listening to the broadcast, two marvelous stories. And that's one of the things that he does so well beyond all the fundamentals that he brings to the table. He also brings his personality to the table, his emotion to the table, his professionalism to the table. He's an example for every young broadcaster to emulate. He also was a marvelous storyteller, and he told two wonderful ones last night. And they were not about the Dodgers. They were about the Braves. One was about Freddie Freeman. Evidently, Freddie Freeman lost his mother when he was 10 years old, and he was the youngest of three boys. And his father looked at the three boys, and, you know, the two older ones he thought were emotionally in good shape, had a lot of friends. And so he looked at his youngest, Freddie Freeman, and he said, you know what? He said, he might need me more than the other two do. So what he did was that he took his lunch break and he pushed it back every day. And instead of taking his lunch break at 11, 11:30 or noon, he would take his lunch break at 2 o'clock every day. He would then drive to the school, pick up Freddie, and bring him just to a local field, and they would just play ball, play catch, hit some balls, whatever. And that's what they did every lunch break. And then when he was done, he'd take him back to work. He gave up hours and hours and hours of his lunch break instead of socializing with coworkers, getting a little extra work in, whatever, to make sure that his 10-year-old son, then 11, then 12, then 13, whatever, that he would pick him up from school, spend that hour with him, and that to them the refuge was to get away and to get to a ball field and hit some balls or field some balls or whatever. And it wasn't Dad's dream that Freddie would be a major leaguer. He just thought that for the two of them, this was the best way for him as a father to reach out and be not just the dad, but be that support system for him after going through that as a family. And, of course, now look how it's paid off. That was a wonderful story. The other one he told was about Freddie Gonzalez, the manager of the Braves. Freddie Gonzalez, the manager of the Braves, was actually born in Cuba. And at the age of three, his family had a golden opportunity to get out of Cuba and get to the United States. I think they were going to do it by plane, I think. And, you know, he doesn't understand at the age of three why he's uprooted and leaving. But let's face it, if you're in Cuba and you have a chance to get to the United States, you take that chance and you do it. Well, his family uproots and leaves. The story, though, takes a little different turn along the way here, because then Vince Scully talked about Freddie Gonzalez's mother. Her job in Cuba was that of a school teacher. And so she taught school in Cuba. But when they went to the United States, she had to start all over again. And what did she do? She wanted to do everything she could to master the English language, which she did, and eventually passed all the tests and became a school teacher in the United States. Two stories, two yarns from Vin Scully last night. The ability to tell those stories in between pitches that at the age of 86, he still does with brilliance. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with each and every one of you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Always fun to be here with all of you. Had a lot of calls yesterday. We talked about several subjects, including scheduling and scheduling FCS teams as opposed to FBS teams, and it brought out an interesting reaction. You never know what topics will suddenly spur calls. That did yesterday. And today, our thanks to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com for being on the show. Tim Neverett, one of the voices of the Pittsburgh Pirates, is going to join us on the show tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. And Also, our thanks to courtesy of MLB.com and the Dodgers for the Vin Scully announcement from last night, which was cleverly done. Rio did it in Korean, and of course, most of the people in the seat are going, okay, I don't know what he said. Yasiel Puig then made the announcement in Spanish. I think some people in the crowd got that, but then when it was done in English, then they all went wild and enjoyed it. I mean, Los Angeles is an interesting area. I mean, they've had some longtime broadcasters there, from Vince Scully to Bob Miller with the Kings, and of course the late Chick Hearn was the Lakers play-by-play guy for a long time. But he's in his 65th season now, and he is going to go into his 66th season. He said some soul searching was done before doing this, and that, it's an important, you know, let's face it, it's important. That you make that decision. I'll tell you, one of the interesting ones was Myron Cope. And Myron Cope, for years, did the Steeler games, as many of you know. And he had an agreement with Joe Gordon, who was for many years the Steelers publicity guy. And the agreement was as follows. He said, look, he said, the second you think I don't have it anymore, and this was years ago, he said this to him. He said, the second you don't think I have this anymore, tell me and I'll quit. He said, I'll totally trust you. You listen, you tell me if I still have it or not. And for many years, you know, nothing, 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 nothing. And then one day, February after a season, and whatever season it was, I don't recall, Joe Gordon went to Myron's house, knocked on the door. He said, Myron, I think it's time. I've been listening. I think it's time. Myron Cope retired the next day. Because years and years ago, he wanted to pick somebody that he would trust, that wouldn't just drink the water, drink the Kool-Aid, and, you know, or be a sycophant and say, hi, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great. And you pick somebody, he says, look, I know you're honest. You'll tell me straight out. The day you don't think I am doing it at the level I should be doing it at, you tell me. Well, about 20 years later, Joe Gordon came up to him, told him that. He quit the next day. Now, you listen to Vin. Even to this day, it's just still done at a really, really high level. So I give the Dodgers a lot of credit. It was really clever how they did it last night. You know, the part that impressed me, though, is that in listening to it, when Rio came out and said it in Korean, Kyle knew right away. I was impressed, Kyle, by that.
That Korean course in college finally paid off.
I mean, fabulous. I mean, I admit, it's not one I would take. Maybe we should come up with a unique way next year of announcing Kevin's birthday.
I'll start working on that now, so I have plenty of time to plan it.
Sure, yeah. You, Sean, Kerry, Drew, we'll all get together. We'll do something next year. We'll come in. And then, you know, on July 29th, the day before, we'll do some big, clever announcement. In fact, if we can hire somebody to start out by saying it in Korean, then hire somebody to come out and say it in Spanish. Don't you think that would be? That's how the Dodgers did it. Seems clever to me.
Absolutely. I'm on board. We do have Dick on the line from Milton.
Dick from Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today? Thanks for calling.
I couldn't pass up this opportunity. I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan when I was young, and there weren't many baseball teams. So I've been, even though I'm an Oriole fan, I've rooted for Vin Scully's teams forever. And the thing I admire most about Vin Scully, he does his games without a color commentary guy.
After Don Drysdale passed away, he found it very difficult that he did not really want to work with anybody else initially. And then after that, it just became the norm for him as to how he works. And what it is, Dick, is a marvelous running conversation between him and you, the listener. It just turns out you're listening, and you know, yeah, that's what it is.
I subscribe to MLB to watch the Orioles, and I'll watch the Dodgers, and just to listen when Vin's at home doing the home games. It's amazing that the guy has that much knowledge. I mean, I don't know how you could question it, what he's telling you, because you have to believe it's true, but some of it, the facts are just incredible.
It is, and you know what? He takes a lot of time, obviously, to either research or actually to talk to people. And I think it goes to talking to people, because he relates stories that can only come from someone's heart and not from a media guide.
But can you imagine announcing when Jackie Robinson played and still announcing today? I mean, that's...
Isn't that amazing? And not only that, doing it at a high level the entire time.
I told guys today he was doing this during the time of silent radio.
Hey, Dick, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
See you, Steve. Bye.
Take good care. All right. Tomorrow, Your Tim station. Neverett.